Well, I'd appreciate prayer this morning for the word. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me through the week, and I was thinking about a song, number 8, in our hymnal, called Light Breaks at Last, written by Brother Teasley, D.O. Teasley, and it starts like this. It says, in the morning of grace, when the sun first arose and the gospel divine put to flight all its foes, the nations rejoiced but forsook it so soon. For the sun in his strength was darkened at noon. You know, I want to comment on that verse as we begin so that everybody understands. Most of us do, I know. But in the morning of grace, when was that? When Jesus Christ began this gospel, set it forth by the Holy Spirit, sent into the disciples, and sent out to all the world. It was a morning. The light was coming up. It was being enriching the earth. It was enriching the people. It was changing people from darkness to light, changing people from heathenish traditions and wicked ways of worshiping God and sacrificing people and all kinds of things, changing all that. It was the light. It was the sun. It was the Son of God that's termed in Scripture. Malachi calls it the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. The sun, likened to be like the sun coming up in the morning, the sun came up on the earth. And it changed things, didn't it? In a couple of hundred years, the world was a different place than it had been before. The known world in that whole area over there had in Europe and Asia and Africa and clear into India. We don't know where all it went. But it went throughout all the world and it changed things. It was beautiful. It changed from war to peace. And so we see that. And so when the sun first arose and it says the gospel divine put to flight all its foes, folks, it overcame the darkness. And I want to tell you, the light still overcomes the darkness. But something happened. Something happened. After a time, and you can read this in history, it's plain to see, it's easy to see what happened. And after a little time happened, things began to grow dark spiritually. People who believed the truths that the apostles set forth had to go into hiding. And they had to, they were persecuted, they were hunted, they were destroyed for their beliefs. They were hated because they wouldn't go to war, because they wouldn't partake of the festivals and all the things that the world around them did. They were a plain people. They were a careful people. They were a loving people. And they were full of the Holy Ghost. And their witness was powerful. But after a time, things began to cool off. You see how that things began to regress. People began to take the place and usurp the spot that the Holy Spirit had had. People began to set up one man above another. And you know, by the time we get a few hundred years past, we find, you read the writing, you can read the writings of early writers like Tertullian. And now he wrote clear up into the 200s, but you can read those writings and you can watch how things began to slip away from the church as it was in the beginning. And so it says, the nations rejoiced but forsook it so soon. And so soon we find that men had replaced the Holy Spirit. Men had replaced the headship of Jesus Christ to the church. And so we find that when men do things, they do it their way, don't they? Pretty soon we find a church that began to take the place, and they had a pope, and they had all of this, and we find that there was great power began to be more and more invested in somebody at Rome, and from there, and men began to take the place of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. Pretty soon they began to teach their ways and their doctrines and their things, and they had their influence and their authority over all those things. You know, that must have been a terrible caving for those that really knew the Lord. They must have watched with, Lord, what is going on? How is this happening? And yet it was. And so we find that did happen. You know, I want to think for a minute before I finish that song. The gospel went forth in great power. You remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? How the apostles were empowered? 3,000 was saved from a message that day. And I don't know how many more might have been saved by other messages. But 3,000 was saved by the preaching of Peter that day. That was an amazing time, wasn't it? You know, great deliverances happened in those early days. Paul, one that brought people to death, one that brought his ideas to force upon other people in such a way that if they didn't, they took him to the courts and they put him in prison and then killed many of them. And we find, you remember Cornelius the centurion that the angel visited, and he said, you know, your alms and all that's come up before God for a memorial. You know what the Lord did for him? He sent Peter down there to preach to him, and they received the Holy Spirit. And it changed their lives. It changed them. The Holy Spirit in a life changes that life, I want to tell you. It empowers that life in a way that can be no other way. It's not something somebody taught them. It's the power of the Lord Himself in their lives and in their hearts. It manifested itself in great power among the people. And over time, those things began to be lost. Jesus was preached as the head of the church. Did you know that? Who's the head of the church on the earth? Jesus. He has all power in heaven and in earth. And I'm just going to mention a few scriptures because we have too many places to go to take a lot of time with each one. So I want to mention them. If you want to write them down, you'll have to do it kind of fast. But Colossians 1 and 18, it says, and He, speaking of Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That was Christ, wasn't it? That in all things He might have the preeminence. Do you know this was the teaching of the early church? They didn't teach that there was a pope and a great church. They taught that Christ was the head and we're the body. And as we follow Him and we know His ways and His will, and we immerse ourselves and let His power work in our lives, then the gospel became a powerful force in the world. And the Lord wants that today too. And He's still here in that same power. Ephesians 1 and 22 says, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, who is the church? What does church mean? Well, look it up. I want to tell you, it's going to tell you it's the congregation of believers. That's who it is. It's the congregation of the Lord. That's why we call it the church of God, because it's the congregation of God's gathering His people. Gathered together. That's why Paul, when he wrote to the churches, is it important? I think it is. I don't want anybody calling me Mr. Smith. I'm Mr. Gellenbeck. You know what? And you have your name. God wants His church, I believe, called by His name. Amen. The church, who is it of? Of God. Amen. The church of God. And so we find that in a number of places where Paul addressed the church as the church of God. I just want to bring a few little things to us this morning for us to chew on and think about. Folks, we are where we are because God has been gracious to us. He has given light that disappeared for many years as far as in the whole world. Okay? And so another scripture in Ephesians 1 and 22 says, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." Is that the one I read? I'm sorry. It is. In Ephesians 5 and 23, it talks about Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. You know, this morning, Christ is the head of the church. Amen. Did you know that? Christ is the head of the church. And who's his body? The people, the believers, the washed in his blood. They're his body. And where are they connected to? To Christ, and he is their head. Oh, this morning, we want to make sure we know who the head is. Because, folks, when we begin to lose light, it happens just like it happened in the early days of Christianity. It begins to fade away, and pretty soon, people begin to assume those places. And you know what the head does, don't you? It gives directions to the body. And so when a man assumes the place of a head, he's not assuming the place of Christ's body, the head of the body. He assumes the head of some organization that he has created or others have created and made him the head. Do you know this morning it's important for us to know those things? When man becomes the head of the church, they usurp the authority of the Holy Spirit and begin to do things their way. Okay, many times they begin to invent scripture and other doctrines on their own. Can you imagine such a thing when the scriptures plainly tell us that this is the word of God? We don't have any authority, folks. We never will have any authority to make scripture. It's already made. And if anything that we do say contradicts scripture, folks, Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." He didn't say, "Follow me. I am the authority." He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." That was Paul's belief. That was what the Lord taught us too, is it not? And so, by the end of the third century, we know that the church had lost much of its power. And if you read a little of the history, I haven't read it all. I would love to sometime just take the time to read through. So there's much to read from the early writers. But we find that there was still power here and there. Power. I read one writer, this has been a long time ago, and I don't remember who it was. But they said even now, once in a while, somebody dies and the Lord will raise them from the dead. You know, the congregation will go into fasting and prayer. They said that. Do you know this morning, there's much, much in the Lord. And he wants us to have it. And we lose all of that when we begin to live to our own creeds and doctrines. We lose that. And so, when the spirit of the gospel was lost, more and more error began to take over. And so I want to speak to some of a little more about all of that. This is one reason why, folks, true Christians put so much emphasis on light and understanding. Light in the scripture generally means understanding. That's what, in a spiritual term, it's speaking of understanding. That's why we believe in that. You know, we understand that a man and a woman and a child must have a true conversion. They must be born again. We don't have a book for you to sign. I've been asked, "How do you join your church?" Well, how do you? And so I asked them, "Well, how do you join your church?" Well, you know, one of them told me one time, he said, "You come and for so many years you you live under this their doctrine and all of these things, and you come before a group of men and they examine your life and everything, and they will admit you to the church after so many years or however it was. It's been several years, 15, 20 years since he told me that. But I just remember being aghast. That's the way you join your church? You know what the Bible says? You must be born again. And he says that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, there isn't any other place. When you see somebody has to put their name on a book, I want to tell you something. To join the thing, you need to run from that. That's not God's way. God's way is that we are born. And when we are born, our name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life, and it cannot be taken off by anybody but the Lord. Now he tells us, you add to or take away from this, I'll take your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lord tells us that. Last chapter of Revelation. But I want to tell you something this morning. The Lord wants us to understand truth. He wants us to be armed with those things. It is by that we find that we must, subsequent to being saved, must be filled with the Spirit of God. Do you know this morning, the Lord wants our lives to be filled with the Holy Ghost? And that Spirit is an enlivening, powerful thing in our lives. We go back and look at the second chapter of Acts if you want to know how powerful it is. Here was Peter that said, I don't know the man. I'm telling you, I don't know the man. The Holy Ghost came upon him. He repented of that. The Holy Ghost came upon him, and he got right up to those same people and preached. 3,000 of them got saved. You talk about a change. That was a change. And the Lord began to work with them in wonderful ways. And so this morning, there isn't anything that can replace that. There isn't anything that can replace the Scriptures in our lives. There isn't anything that can replace God's will in my life. I don't care what a man tells me, and I listen when people talk to me. But above all of that, and beyond all of that, I want to know the will of the Lord. You know, this morning, that is a marked difference. You know, we don't have a book that tells you how you must do to sit in these pews, because we sure don't have anything to join. But I want to tell you something, not in the way the world does. But you know, the Lord wants to put His laws in our heart. What a marvelous bit of light that is. You mean nobody tells me everything I have to do? No, I have to get up close to the Lord. And I want to balance this with the Scriptures this morning. But I want to get up close to the Lord, and I want to know His voice and His ways and His thoughts. And I want to know His Spirit. And I want to know what kind of Spirit I'm supposed to project to the world. And I want to be clean and free. And the Lord has given all of that for us this morning. And so, the Lord help us today. Does that produce anarchy then? That we don't have a head and we refuse that? No, it doesn't produce anarchy. Anarchy means a state of disorder due to absence or non-recognition of authority, or absence of government and absolute freedom of the individual regarded as a political ideal. And it doesn't produce a head other than Christ. It produces a living, organic life where our soul lives. And the Spirit of God dwells within. And He teaches us His ways. And He leads us to heaven. And He comforts us when we need comfort. And He corrects us when we need correction. And He has things in the body to help this. Did you know that? But He doesn't have anything in the body to take the place of it. He just has things in the body to help it. And so I want to look this morning, when we begin to serve the Lord, Folks, sometimes people will want a book. Give me something. Well, here it is, right here. Here it is. I don't have a book to give you to tell you everything to do. I have some books to share with you that will deepen your experience, your understanding of the Lord. I have some books to share with you that will really enliven your experience with the Lord. It'll bless it. It'll help it. But it won't take the place of knowing the Lord. And so, folks, I want to encourage children, all of us. Did you know you don't have to be 35 years old to begin to know the Lord? You know, when Samuel first heard the voice of the Lord, he was just a little boy. But he was hearing, he was given to God and to his will. And the Lord began to speak to Samuel and began to share things with him. And the Lord used him all his life. Do you know that the Lord wants to come into our life and then he wants to use our life all the rest of our days? He wants our life to be a piece of him, his express will to the world. And is that bad? Is that harmful? Does that tie us up? I say it sets us free. It sets us free. It's a beautiful thing that the Lord does. And so we read the chorus then of this song. And it goes on. The refrain says, light breaks at last. Hallelujah to God. Darkness is past. What darkness was it talking about? Do you know we went through well over 1,000 years of dark, dark times? Over 1,200 years. We kind of put a number, 1,260 years. The Bible, I believe, puts that on there. Do you know that of darkness, darkness, gross darkness covered the people? And what? It's called the Dark Ages in history. It's called the Dark Ages. You remember that? It's called the Dark Ages. You know what? They pushed the Lord out of his preeminence in all things. And they replaced that with men who and women who took that place. And before long, they had their ideas, their thoughts. And they were a long ways from, no, the people can't read the Word of God because they can't understand it. They need to hear it from the priest. Folks, I want to tell you something. That's wicked abomination. And so when Brother Warner and different ones began to hear the message, light breaks at last. It's the evening time. At evening time, it shall be light. You know what? Darkness is past. Let us shout it aloud. From the mountains and hills, let us gather the few who will stand for the right and dare to be true. And I want to tell you what happened with that. Along with that was accompanied the power of deliverances. The power of the Holy Ghost, the power of healing. And the Lord restored some things. And so, folks, I want us to understand, it's not just another church. It's the movement of God. And so, the Lord bless our people. I want to say a little more before we go on here. Maybe a bunch more. And we'll come back to that song. In Matthew 23, I want to read to us something that, folks, we want to get way down in our heart. Like I say, this true gospel does not produce anarchy. But this is what Jesus said. We read this a while back, and I just feel inspired to say it again this morning. 23:6, he was talking about the scribes and Pharisees. And he said, they love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues. I'm going to tell you, when you start loving that upper level of stuff too much, you better humble yourself so the Lord don't have to. And greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But I want to read to you what the Lord said. This is what Jesus said. It's in red. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master. You know that Jesus said, don't call any man rabbi. Don't lift him up like that. And he said, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye... Wait a minute. Did he really say all? He did, didn't he? All ye are brethren. As high as it gets. Your brother. You have a different place, a different position. Sometimes it does have some authority with it. But I want to tell you something. He said, you're just brethren. You'll never get above that place. You'll never get above the place of a servant. And if you do, you're headed for a real humbling from the Lord. It might be that we go into false ideas and false doctrines and all those things. That's what happens to people like that. That's the humbling that they have many times. And all ye are brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called master. Masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Do you know that when we elevate a person to a place or position that only Christ inhabits? See, he said, don't call any man master. Just don't elevate them. Love them, appreciate them. Let them know that. They need your appreciation because they face the devil head on. When they become the head of their church, it's not Christ's body, as we said a while ago. Oh, the Lord help us today that we don't ever allow ourselves. Do you know that the Catholic Church is not the only one that went this way? Did you know there's movements out there today that do the same thing? And maybe they're called the chief, whatever, the head, whatever. Listen, folks, we are all brethren with different callings and different places. And every one of them is real important to the body of Christ. There isn't anything you have on your body that's exalted and it's the only thing. It don't work without everything else working. In Matthew 20 and 25, but Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. What a different perspective than parts of the world has, than religions. And that's why we believe in studying the scriptures. Don't take it all from someone else. I hope you read every word in this Bible. I hope you meditate on it. I hope some of you know it better than I do. I hope you know the word. It's important. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. Where did he sit on a great throne? Where did he? But he ministered. He continually ministered to the poor, to the ones that needed healing, to the ones that was his life. He never rose to a place where he sat in a great seat, did he? Now right now, he's seated in heaven, isn't he? He has a great throne of authority. And folks, he's coming back and he will be our judge at that time. And to give his life a ransom for many. That's what Jesus came to do. One reason I wanted to bring this. This doesn't produce anarchy, folks. This produces a real. It makes us able to teach and learn the truth of God's word. That's what it does. It makes us able to do that. You see, as people become exalted and elevated, they are not able anymore to teach the plain, humble truths of the word. And so we see light began to slip away as people began to be exalted. And light soon disappears. It doesn't take long for it to become dim. And then people only see very dimly, and all they see is where they're at. And so the Lord help us today here. I really want the Lord to reveal some things to us, more than maybe we've had before. Long years, verse 2 of that song says, long years have we dwelt in confusion and strife. Do you know that as things melted away, light became darkness, faded into dark ages for centuries. And they oppressed the light. Anywhere the light would come, it was snuffed out. And I want to tell you, wherever you hear of wars and all of those things and holy wars, it's not of God. It never was of God. That's not the way Jesus said, if my servants would, you know, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But it's not of this world. And so confusion and strife began to come in the world and groped where contention and error were rife. But now we have found what we sought for so long, that the people of God unite in one throne. How can that happen? One throne? It's because we don't join a church. And the true message is, now after a period of time, folks, we can fall back into a form like that ourselves. But I want to tell you what God wants it to be. He wants us to be a gathering of people from everywhere that find God real in their lives and refuse to come under the creeds and the doctrines of men. Behold, now we see by the evening's fair light, as it gleams from Mount Zion in radiance bright, that the mist of confusion is passing away, as the darkness recedes at breaking of day. We have founded at last the one holy flock. 'Tis the church of the Lord, and it stands on the rock. Spread the news far and wide till it reaches each shore, that the sun in his strength shall shine evermore. So the Lord help us today. You know, I want to read now, and this is really, this is a two-part burden. It all ties together very closely. But I want to read Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And let's look a little at what this says. Ephesians 4 and 1. Paul was writing here. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye, you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Do you know the Lord expects us to walk worthy? Jesus said, pray always and watch that you be accounted worthy to stand before Him when He comes back. Do you know that it is a careful walk? It is. Jesus said, narrow is the way and straight is the gate. Straight means difficult. Few there be that find it. Folks, I wish I could preach to you that the whole world's going to gush in. But I want to tell you, if you're going to find the Lord, you're going to have to find Him real in your life. All of us, because we are here in this place, don't save us. But because we humble ourselves before the Lord, and we begin to allow and thirst after righteousness, and He fills our hearts and lives, and He begins to lead us and direct us, we are His people then, the sheep of His pasture. Verse 2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Do you know that God's people, if you want to find God's people, they're going to be lowly and they're going to be meek. Identifying characteristics. There'll be no other way. I know that people sometimes have their needs. I know that. But I will tell you, that's God's people. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know what? The Lord wants us to really work at keeping, endeavor, work to keep the unity of the Spirit. Don't let something come up between us easily. If it's not going to be sinful, if it's not going to be something that leads us away from God, let's work our way through it. That's the spirit of the people of God. And this fourth chapter is so revealing. in so many ways to the things of God. And he goes on to say, there is one body. Where did that come from? What do you mean there's one body? There's hundreds of bodies. Is there? I'm going to stay with the scripture. It says there's one body. That's why I don't want to attach myself to another body. Because I want to be part of his body. Separated from sin, my name enrolled in heaven, living to all the light that God reveals to me and to you. I want that, don't you? There's one body, folks. Does that mean that us sitting here is the only people in the world that's right? No, we're just a piece of that body. Anybody else that does that as part of the body too. Thank God for everyone. Everyone that is saved becomes a part of the body. Did you know that? And sometimes they're trapped up out here in all kinds of places. You know what? The Lord wants to bring his body to a body. He wants to do that. He said, there is one body and one spirit. How many spirits is there? One spirit, the Holy Spirit. It is a Holy Spirit. It will always teach holiness. That's the Spirit of God. You look in that, you look at that word. That word spirit is the same air that is in your lungs. It's talking about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And so, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand that air, but read the definition of it in the Greek. You know what? It is a Holy Spirit. It will always be. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord. How many Lords are there? How many do we pray to? Do we pray to Jesus and several others? I don't think so. There's one Lord. And you know what the Lord is? He's Lord of our life, isn't he? He's at the helm. He's the one we obey. He's the one we follow. He's the one we take our orders from. There's one Lord. And one faith. Now faith, you look it up. It's talking about a belief system. There's one Word of God. Folks, we're not saying this. The Scripture is. There's one belief. There's... Now, I know when I got saved, I had a lot of things to undo. But I want to tell you what. The Lord wants us to get close to Him, to walk with Him, and God Himself, if we are filled with the Holy Ghost, will begin to reveal one thing after another to our lives. That's why I encourage us, folks. Let's go on. Let's be filled with the Spirit of God. It is a Holy Spirit. It will make you walk holy. It will fill our lives with truth and righteousness. And instead of separating us from God after a period of time, we're going to grow closer and closer to Him. And we're going to understand more and more of the mind of God. That's what it does, isn't it? There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So did you know, see, it's an organic, it's a live thing this morning. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Do you know, now he's going to start talking about what he does in his body. Now he's going to start talking about how that body operates a little bit. Unto every one of us, every one of us. Have you asked the Lord, Lord, what's my place? Is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You know the Lord wants to work in your life, in the body. He wants you to be a living and active part. And without it, the body's going to suffer. Did you know the body of Christ is going to suffer without your part working in it? But in... Wherefore, because of this, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. You know, captivity. We were all in captivity forever before Christ saved us, wasn't we? And he led captivity captive. He took it and he chained it down. It can't capture you anymore. We can be free, folks. Thank the Lord this morning. Now that he ascended... What is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? You know that, I'm going to go on. We're almost out of time anyway. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all things, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Do you know this morning, we're not in anarchy. We don't just all do whatever we want to do. Do you know the Lord tells us that he puts these in the body to help us understand. It's a valuable place. Your Sunday school teacher this morning, it's a valuable place. They help us. Now, Paul said this. He didn't say, just take everything I say. He said, you follow me as I follow Christ. If I'm following Christ, you keep following me. When you see that I'm erring from that, don't follow me anymore. And he gave these evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Folks, have respect. I'm just going to tell you, have respect for what God does. Whatever God does, have respect. And ask the Lord to use them. Ask the Lord to bless his work. We need it, don't we? We need wisdom. We need not the wisdom of men. We need the wisdom of God. We need the power of the Holy Ghost as we preach, as we teach, as we pray for people. Folks, I believe that's a collective thing. We're not on an island. Let's pray one for another. Let's pray for those that are teaching your Sunday school class. I hope you pray for them. Lord, bless that class this morning. Lord, bless our service today. You know, I don't have anything to say unless God gives it. Folks, I'm very needy before God. And he gives these, he says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. Edifying simply means to build up. It comes from the idea of building a building. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. You know what that tells me? That when we begin, we're not all going to be in the unity. I believe we're going to be in the unity of the Spirit. Let's read on there. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There is a gradual and constant learning process that we are going to have until we die. We're going to understand more and more of the ways of God. I understand things today that I'm ashamed of. Why did I ever think that? I want to tell you something. The Lord himself and his work through the ministry of the Word wants to unravel our minds. He wants to teach us his ways until the sun can shine brightly. Oh, folks, the Lord wants this sun to shine brightly. And he wants us to start in our own heart, at home, and in our own family. That's where he wants it to start. And then he wants it to filter through the congregation. Oh, let's all ask the Lord today, Lord, I want your light to be pristine. I want you to shine to the people. I want you to be to the people hope. I want you, Lord, to be to the people righteousness. Lord, I want you to be to the people understanding. You know, sometimes I've just had to ask the Lord, Lord, I don't understand this. A while back, in fact, I was just like, Lord, if you want me to preach this, you got to reveal it to me. You got to help me understand. You know what? The Lord started working and revealed to me in a way I could not believe how God revealed his word. You know what? The Lord does that for us, doesn't he? And as we walk with the Lord, we find him doing that. That we henceforth, folks, well, he says, unto a perfect man, or meaning a mature man. A full man, fully developed, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, You see, when people are young and maybe they're new in the Lord or whatever, or come, there's many ways we can be confused, isn't there? And the devil maximizes on that. But he said that we henceforth be no more children. We've got some maturity level. We've been growing up. We've been growing in the Lord. And while we've been growing in the Lord without even noticing it, our understanding is far greater than it was. Is that true? Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, this morning, oh, how the Lord wants to fitly join our lives into the body. He fitly doesn't force it. It just fits in. It fits in its place. We don't have to force our place. If we force our place, we're probably out of place. But when it fits in, and when the body, it just works with the body. Folks, I want to tell you, that's a beautiful place this morning. Oh, the Lord help us that we can preach and teach the true kingdom of God. Lord, help us to have understanding. Help us to know your ways. Help us, Lord, to be able to take to the world the power of the gospel, the power of deliverance, the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling, the power of healing. And folks, many of us here have seen many of those things done. Well, I want to tell you, the Lord is still in all that business today. There was great light. That's why Brother Teasley said, light breaks at last. Was there no light out in the world? Sure, there was light. And you go over here and you get one piece of it, and you go over there and you get another piece, and you go somewhere else and you get another piece. But Brother Warner and those felt like there should be a drawing together of light and understanding. That'll only happen in our hearts and lives as we walk with the Lord. And as we allow Him to work with us in the ways He wants to. We, through the years, and I just want to say, it is easy. We can see it in the early morning church. It is easy for it to be lost. We must never lose it. It is only there as we individually, all of us, seek the Lord. We seek only His will. Only His will. We seek only to be pleasing to God. We seek only, Lord, teach us your ways. That should constantly be on our hearts and minds. Teach us your ways and show us your paths. And I have found that God will surprise us. He will do that. And it'll be in ways that are shocking, surprising. Lord, thank you for that bit of understanding. I never had that before. I find understanding real often, every little bit that I didn't have before. I hope it never quits. You pray for us. Pray for the Word of God in this place. Pray for one another. That this congregation, folks, do you know that there were 7 letters written to the churches in Revelation? And do you know that only one of them really got, excuse me, a real commendation from the Lord? That means we're going to have to walk carefully. We're going to have to know Him. Not just have His blessings. We're going to have to know Him. Walk with Him. Find His Spirit in our life. It's real. It changes us to the depths, to the uttermost. And though the experience happens at once, the work is a lifetime in progress. And so we can never stop thirsting. Lord, I thirst for more of you. Our thirsting for the world is over. But for the Lord, we can never get enough of the Lord. Thank the Lord this morning. You pray for me.